And this hour, we'll take your phone calls with L.A. Marzulli, Fatima, Miracle of the Sun, or Harbinger of Deception. Incredible story. We're talking about the episode that occurred October 1917. Three little children in Fatima in Portugal. They witnessed something very unusual. Welcome back. We are back with L.A. Marzulli and your phone calls as well. L.A., what do you think the three children thought that they saw? I mean, they were old enough to know something, but what do you think their little heads, little brains tried to conceive?
Well, they definitely had an entity in front of them. But what's interesting is this is why the fourth witness is so startling, because the fourth witness saw something too, but she never went to it, and she kept it secret for literally decades. Dulcina de Armada found her name in the archives and the testimony, which was completely overlooked by everyone. What most people don't understand is Portugal was steeped in a matriarchal society and goddess worship before the Roman era, which precedes the Christian era by hundreds of years. And this matriarchal society in the northern part of Portugal specifically worshiped the goddess Moura. And this goddess Moura would appear to men and seduce them. And after she had her way with them, she would then kill them.
Well, nice.
Her priests that served her were all castrated. So this is a really weird dynamic. There are also numerous so-called apparition sites all throughout Portugal. It's not just Fatima gets all the... We went to two of them, George.
Yeah, Fatima gets the notoriety.
Fatima gets the notoriety, but we went to two others, which predated Fatima. So this is an ongoing deal that's happening in Portugal.
If it was a UFO visitation, what was so important to the UFOs, to the ETs in that area?
That's a great question, and I don't have the answer to that. I don't.
There's something there.
There's something there. Something is going on. I call the film Miracle of the Sun, or a harbinger of deception. I think it was a precursor to what is coming, and they sort of tipped their hand that day. Remember that the World War One is raging. We've never had a war like that until World War I. Bolsheviks are ready to overthrow Russia at the time. The Balfour Declaration, which will create the State of Israel, which gets into a whole three-hour discussion with prophecy and, you know, ancient prophetic texts talk about Israel becoming a nation in one day, which is thousands of years old, which happened in 1948. And people can, you know, yell and scream, and it's not the real Jews, and it's Zionism and all this stuff. You know, it's a bunch of hooey. It's all written in the prophecies that were over 2,000 years old, that in the latter days, the Jews would be regathered from the four corners of the earth and reestablished in their ancient homeland, which happened. So I think there are forces that are at work here, and we're only getting part of a story. But I do believe it was not, first of all, it was not the sun, and second of all, I do not believe that the entity that appeared to the children was Mary of the Bible. I just don't. That's my take. People may disagree on that, and that's their right to disagree. But I do not think it was Mary of the Bible. Mary did not wear a short skirt to the knee. Why was she communicating telepathically? She was only about 4 feet tall. I mean, it just we could spend an hour talking about some of the other discoveries that we made when probing the 1917 documents. It is very, very alarming. So it was managed. The information was managed. And with the official story from the 1917 documents that were delivered to the bishop in Lisbon, those were kind of redacted, and a new Fatima emerged in 1928, 29, 34, in the 40s and 50s, up to the present day, specifically with the Third Secret, which had everybody going bonkers, which was never revealed. I mean, go figure this, George. I mean, it's never really been revealed. So why hasn't it ever been revealed? Because there is no real Third Secret, in my opinion. The whole thing...
Well, you may be right.
The whole thing is one big confabulation.
L.A., the Bible talks about Ezekiel's wheel, some kind of spinning object in the sky.
Right.
Much like what some of these witnesses described that happened at Fatima.
There are two different descriptions. When you actually look at the descriptions in Fatima, it's a dull silver disc. It spins. It shoots off colors. When you go back to Ezekiel's wheel, it's a craft. I mean, but it's four living creatures that are that are centered in this craft. Gary Stearman likes to call it, you know, God's taking his 57 Chevy out for a little spin. I mean, and what we're seeing here is, and this is a very complex discussion, but it's not a UFO. It is a craft, but it's a living craft. It's a platform which is being moved from place to place. And what's happening is that the third heaven is interfacing with the first heaven, which is where we are. We're talking interdimensionality here. A different dimension is passing through into ours. And this is what he is seeing, which, and he doesn't know how to describe it. He's got language to describe it, and he describes it in great detail. But my gosh, he's never seen anything like this at all. I mean, this is mind-blowing. But it's not the same type of description that we're getting in the field, where it's, when you read the description and then you look at what happens to the people, people are terrified, George.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Terrified. And I do remember seeing a picture of Fatima that day, of the masses of the crowds looking up at the sun or something. There was something up there, wasn't there?
There's no question that something happened in Fatima. I mean, the skeptic can say it was mass hallucination.
No way.
There was something that occurred in Fatima.
Could it have been a solar eclipse? Did we check that to see if one had happened?
It definitely is not an eclipse.
Okay.
Definitely is not an eclipse.
All right, let's take some calls here for you. Let's go to first-time caller Peter in Tucson, Arizona. Hey, Pete, go ahead.
Okay, I'm looking at the picture of hundreds of people staring up into the sky. And, of course, they couldn't look at the sun. Nobody can do that.
Right.
And one of the chief people that was there was named, what's his name? Avelino de Almeida. He was the chief editor of Portugal's largest paper, which is called O Século.
Right, O Século.
It was
right.
Known for its anti-clerical stance. Well, he reported it in the paper, and he got a lot of flack for it. So then he went and he quoted the father of two children and said, he printed it back in the paper. We looked easily at the sun, which for some reason did not blind us. It cast its rays in many directions and painted everything in different colors, the trees, the people, the air, and the ground. The sun appeared to stop spinning and then began to move and to dance in the sky until it seemed to detach itself from its place and fall upon us. It was a terrible moment. Well, now, a silver disk, what's the shape of the sun? What are disk shape? They're round. So if the thing had been, if God had wanted to dim the sun, of course it would look like a silvery disk so people could look up at it. And then there's one other thing. She predicted that the war would end and another one would begin in the reign of Pius the 11th, which was in the 30s. And she said, when you see a night light illuminated, and when you see the night illuminated by an unknown light, know that there is a great sign that God gives you. On the night of January 25th, 1938,
Light
illuminated the skies all over Europe, all the way down to Ireland. Some people try to pass that off.
What was that all about, Ellie?
Well, but remember what you see. You're in 1938, and this is all from Lucia when she's been cloistered away. None of this, and everything that you mentioned, none of it is in the 1917 documents. So all this is much later, and she was wrong. The entity said that the war will end soon. The war didn't end. See, that's a misnomer also. When you go back to the 1917 documents, and what we discovered is the entity said the war will end today, and the war did not end. So, I mean, all this is, and I understand some people, look, I'm a Christian, okay? I'm also a pastor, and I believe in the supernatural. So I have no axe to grind that way. What I'm trying to warn people of the deception that people can so easily be deceived by anything supernatural. You mentioned the sun being dimmed, which would look like a disc. I get that. And that would account for part of the phenomena. But it's not going to account for the flyby. This object flew over the crowd less than 100 feet over the crowd.
Exactly.
And it did like this. It swooped down on the crowd and then went back up. And people were absolutely freaked out. That's not the sun. It was something else that flew over that crowd that day.
I never believed it was the sun, ever, L.A., when I heard this story years ago as a kid.
Yeah, as a kid, You know, it's funny. As a kid, I looked at it and I was drawn to it, and you know, it because it was it seemed to be miraculous. You know, those movies that they made in the 50s were like, you know, the choir, the whole deal. I mean, it sucks you right in emotionally, right? And you want to believe that it is, but this is the official version, that it's the Mary of the Bible and all these. She's telling the kids the secrets and the and but all this is later. This is another Fatima. This is, in my opinion, this has been basically doctored and changed from what really happened in 1917. I mean, the idea of the fourth witness who has an encounter is communicated with telepathically. Remember, all these kids are being communicated with telepathically. If you go back to the biblical prophetic narrative, what I call the guidebook of the supernatural, anytime a good guy appears, there's no telepathic communication. They speak out loud. They go, hey, how you doing? You know, be of good cheer. There's no voice-to-skull deal going on here. And that's what happens with the fourth witness, and it's what happens with the kids. And there's also, I mean, go back in the ufology. There's a buzzing sound, like the buzzing of bees. And not only the kids hear it, thousands of people hear this buzzing noise. Something falls from the sky. You know, people call it angel hair, mm-hmm. You know, in ufology. It's not rose petals, it's angel hair. And this is what happens when a craft comes into our atmosphere. It disturbs the atmosphere and creates these fibers which fall to Earth. We actually have a picture of it, which we'll show in the second film, not from 1917,
right.
But what one of our researchers in Portugal, you know, they've got this thing. And they were able to look at it under a scanning electron microscope, and it's bizarre. But look, whatever happened there, something happened. Was it really a miracle, or was it a harbinger of deception?
And when you mean harbinger of deception, are you talking about something evil or sinister?
Yeah, definitely.
Really?
Because what it did, and this is the punchline, it completely changed 70,000 people's paradigm instantly. They're ready to believe whatever you tell them at that point. Let's say the craft had landed or something came out. Oh, by the way, there were three figures that were seen in the craft waving to the crowd, seemed to be waving to the crowd. Some people saw three figures in the object.
And how did the person, the female, the entity come down? Just float down, beam down?
It was like, and Joaquin Fernandez and Fina de Armada talk about this in the book. There was almost like a beam where the entity traveled along this like a staircase, like a light beam. So was it a holograph? We don't know. We don't have any idea what we're looking at, what it really was. But when it would come, the buzzing sound would happen. There would be all this atmospheric stuff going on. People, listen to this, George. People reported seeing flying hats. See what I mean? What is a flying hat?
Mm-hmm. It's a little disc.
There you go.
Yeah.
People reported seeing flying hats. So when you take everything together, this is why I call it a harbinger of deception, because you know where I stand with the whole UFO thing.
Yes.
Why isn't it that they haven't, you know, revealed themselves? Because they're being held back in some way. They can't reveal themselves. I mean, enough of the cat and mouse game already.
But why these three kids? Why them?
Well, let me answer that this way. There's a dynamic here which we didn't talk about, and this is why the film is, in my opinion, is so important. A group of psychics were meeting. And we actually spoke to a psychic who was not part of that 1917 group, but, you know, these people have had these lodges all over Portugal. And so we went to one of these lodges and we interviewed one of the psychics. And we got all this on film. It was incredible. There was a group of psychics who were meeting regularly in 1917. They were using a technique called automatic writing. So seven or eight of them sit at a table and they're all like, you know, meditating. And then one of them picks up a pen and it channels the information through what is known an occult technique known as automatic writing,
mm-hmm.
which in my opinion is absolutely, you have no idea who it is that you're channeling and why you should trust it to begin with. So, but that's a 3-hour conversation.
Right.
And the automatic writing is reads from right to left and can only be seen in a mirror, just like Da Vinci's codexes. And it's signed, get this, Stella Matutina, the bright morning star, which is another name for Lucifer.
Really?
And they published
Whoa.
This. George, they published their, they published it that they said specifically on May 13th, 1917, something wondrous is going to happen in Portugal. That's what they published in O Seculo.
They knew.
They knew.
Robert in New Iberia, Louisiana is with us. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, well, the reason that they knew is because what your guest isn't telling you is that the Blessed Virgin Mary told the three children that it would happen, the miracle would happen, so that all of Europe could believe, because there were many atheists and skeptics. Even the Catholic Church didn't believe. That's why over 70,000 people gathered there, because they were expecting a miracle, and sure enough, a miracle happened. And your guest hasn't been completely honest with you. I would urge you, George, to have brothers Peter and Michael Diamond from the Most Holy.
They've been on. They've been on before.
What your guest has been saying.
They've been. But when you say when you say he's not honest, what do you mean specifically, Robert?
Well, for example, he said that she didn't identify herself. When the bishop asked the three children to ask her to identify herself, she said she was the Immaculate Conception, which is what she always says. If you know, if your guest knew anything about Marian apparitions, and the Catholic Church knows that whenever she identifies herself as the Immaculate Conception, that's only referring to the Blessed Virgin Mary.
And let me interrupt you. That's not true. In the 1917 documents, Lucia never says that. She says she was a lady from the sky. That's what she says.
Somewhere, somebody came up with the Immaculate Conception line, I guess.
This is why, look, this is what's important. And I understand it's a hot button issue. And I understand
right.
People can get really emotional about it. I understand all that. I get all that. But if the 1917 documents are what we have to go by, not 1928, not 1938, 1917, when it's happening, and the parish priest is taking the testimonies and writing it down, and the parish priest says, ask Lucia, point blank, who does the lady say she is? And she says she's from the sky. That's what she says.
By the way, L.A. does not have an agenda here. If the documents he has looked at and referred to tonight said things specifically that would be considered very spiritual and religious, he'd be talking about that too. And I just want to point that out for
you,
L.A.
Thank you, George.
But next up, let's go to David in Fairbanks, Alaska. Welcome to the show. David, go ahead. I've got just about a minute for you. Want me to put you on hold and come back to you, or can you rattle off your question?
Actually, if you want to put me on hold and come back to me,
all
that
right.
would be good.
Let us do that, because this will take a little longer. L.A., where do people see the film?
Well, you can go and purchase it right now at thewatchmanchronicles.com or lamarzulli.net or thewatchmanchronicles.com. And, you know, it's revealing. And I think we've been really fair. I mean, we're not bashing anybody's belief system, but we're really drilling in on that event in October 13th, the miracle of the sun.
And like you said earlier, this is not a front against religion or
no,
spirituality.
Absolutely not.
Which is so important. And L.A., keep chugging along. We're going to come back and take some final phone calls with you and continue talking about this truly remarkable story. I mean, I remember in Catholic catechism classes when I was just a kid, the priest and the instructor would be talking about this, and it had us sitting at the end of our seat. But when they started talking about the sun came down, even little George said, nah, it's something else. We'll be back. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. L.A. Marzulli with us, of course, and let's get to more calls here as the time clicks. David was holding Fairbanks, Alaska. There you go, David. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Norrie, very much. Good to talk with you again.
You too.
I'm just calling just to say a few things, and I won't be long, and I'll just hang up and take the and if there's any comments off air. But first, I appreciate the guests' perspective on this, because it is a deeper issue. I mean, that there's a lot of mystery around it, and I think that was the whole point. But my opinion, and I guess I'm just calling to share my opinion and then give some information.
You're entitled to that, so go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That I believe that whether or not it was a UFO or whatever it was, it's very similar. The story of Fatima is very similar to that of Lourdes, to that of the Divine Mercy. in Poland around that whole time period when Europe was losing, and there at different times was losing faith. They were losing faith. They went to church religiously. A lot of Catholics did, but inwardly, because of poverty and lack of education and lack of a lot of things and threat of war, I mean, people were losing faith. So that could have been a UFO. Who knows what it was? It was something, though, that made those individuals there see that there was something going on. And I do believe it was the Blessed Mother who was there, the Virgin Mary, because of the message that she gave. It was the same message that she gave at Lourdes. And it was Christ's same message that he gave to St. Faustina Kowalska in Poland, which was to pray for the world, to pray for yourself, to pray for other people. And that was the message that was given. Now, as far as the Lucia, or Lucia, when she was older, she never did take a vow of silence. She entered the cloistered order called the Carmelites, which is a very large order. There's many convents here in the United States and around the world. And they're cloistered, which means that they have very little communication with the outside world and very little communication with families. It's part of their strict prayer life. They're founded by St. Teresa of Avila.
Yeah.
They're called the Discalced. So anyway, she never did, though, take a vow of silence. She did not. And she did have visitors that would come and speak with her, and she'd pray for them. But part of the Carmelite life is one that's excluded. It's a special vocation, and few are called to it, but some are. Now, as far as the information from the church, even about this priest who disappeared, what you have to remember is when we talk about Fatima, or we talk about Lourdes, or we talk about the Divine Mercy of St. Faustina Kowalska, of course, Lourdes of St. Bernadette, but this is what the church calls private revelation, which means it's not needed that a Catholic believe it. It's private. Yeah. So a Catholic can stand up and say this is all, you know, nonsense, and there's no, you know, you can't get in trouble for it, and you're not looked down on it.
All right, well, let's get L.A. David to react to some of this, and then we'll take some more calls.
Well, I mean, what you're doing is you're taking one incident, and that's what we drill down on. We drill down on one incident, one part of the phenomenon that happened, which is called the miracle of the sun. And we went back to the 1917 records, what people actually saw. And I'm bothered by it. I'm very troubled by it. Why would Mary appear in a short skirt to begin with? And that's from a 1917. That's what Lucia and Jacinta backs her up on it. That's what they saw. Whatever this entity was, in my opinion, and I love Mary of the Bible, so I have no axe to grind there. If it was Mary, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it was. This entity appeared in a skirt which came right below the knees. And when Lucia said that, when she was describing this, the priest and the bishop were greatly troubled by this. And that threw a major curveball. So what I'm saying is, according to the documents that I've read, Lucia was taken a vow of silence, not through her whole life, but when she entered the first convent, and I'm not sure, it might have been a Carmelite convent, I don't know. But I got this from not only when I was in Portugal, but I did other research on it from a Catholic website, which has the timeline of Lucia, and she basically takes a vow of silence, and she's handled by the Jesuits. Do with that what you will. I'm greatly troubled by it, because it seems like, first of all, there's only one witness left out of the three. Francisco never heard the entity. Most people don't realize that the children were given something to eat and drink. And Lucia and Jacinta ate and drank, but Francisco, I think, only ate. So he could see, but he couldn't hear.
What if the entire story, L.A., since the beginning of time, has been all about ETs, fallen angels? Jesus was extraterrestrial. He did go rising into the clouds after he was crucified. What if everything is ET-related? That even makes more sense to the Fatima story.
Well, that's where a lot of people go, and you know where I stand on this, that in a classic definition, anything off-world is an extraterrestrial. But we are in a cosmic war, and I've been on the show talking about this.
Yes.
And right now the world is under the thumb of the fallen one. I mean, that's what's going on, and that's why we're seeing everything that we're seeing. We're ramping up towards some sort of a climax here, in my opinion. And, you know, when the Lord does return, when Jesus does return, and that, I mean, that sounds like an absolute sci-fi movie. I mean, are you kidding me? How's that going to happen?
Exactly.
But the scripture is there. And before that, we're told in the Bible that we're going to see lying signs and wonders. And, you know, the previous caller was talking and he rattled off all this stuff, Lourdes and Bernadette. But the bottom line is, you know, I haven't plumbed those stories deeply enough to actually talk about them. But I have, you know, plumbed the depths of Fatima. And this is what troubles me greatly. No one rebuked this thing. No one sat there and tested the spirits, number one. No one has any idea. They just all blatantly accepted it. Now, the priests who couldn't see it, who couldn't see the apparition, were very skeptical and thought it was demonic. This is a Catholic priest who's there. He thinks it's demonic. So, you know, all that has been, like, managed over the decades. It's been 100 years, and people don't realize that the parish priest did not believe it was a good thing. So, you know, you got to, and again, I'm not bashing the Mary of the Bible. I have the highest regard for her, but I don't think Mary shows up in a skirt below the knees in 1917.
If the skirt story wasn't there, would you have a different outlook?
No. The skirt story just kind of is just another of a long line of just evidence that
icing on the cake, as we say.
Thank you.
There you go.
It's just the icing on the cake. Thank you for
international line. Carl in near Toronto. Welcome to the show, Carl. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm from Kitchener-Waterloo. We're the Twin Cities. We're matched up with a couple cities in the States. Anyways, yeah, my actually, I seen one night. I was driving late at night, and I was actually praising and worshiping the Lord, singing songs. And I seen a really dark, small cloud blocking the moon. I was praying against the devil, which probably I shouldn't do. And I was thinking maybe that was the devil or an entity or fallen angel. And my question is, maybe it was a fallen angel, or maybe it was the devil himself, or...
Well, I don't know. What do you think, LA?
I have no idea. I just so you don't feel all alone, when I'm at conferences, and I was at the last conference I was at was at Branson with Steve Quayle, Timothy Alberino, Thomas Horn. All these people have been on the show. Timothy Alberino, Ansem P. Ramla, they've all been on Coast to Coast. I don't think Ansem has, but everybody else has been. And there were 3,000 people in the audience, and I looked at the audience, and I asked the house lights to come up. And I said, how many of you have seen a UFO, lights in the sky, orbs, had an encounter with a being, or sleep paralysis? 80% of the people,
yep.
George, had their hands in the air.
Hands go up. It's remarkable.
80% of the people. So you're not alone, my friend.
Before we go to more calls, tell us again about the scholar, the Christian scholar, Bob Thiel, in his book called what, Fatima Shock?
Yeah, Bob Thiel comes on the record. It's called Fatima Shock. He also went to Portugal and looked at this. He's a lot more adamant about it than I am.
He follows your thoughts, though?
He follows my thoughts. He believed it was a complete and utter deception. It was not Mary of the Bible. So, you know, we're in lockstep. And he believes, like I do, that it was a deception and something that... Look, something, and this is what interesting, you know, the caller before, the last caller, talking about Lourdes. I mean, if I showed him the 2009 so-called Marian apparition over a Coptic church, how can you possibly say that that's Mary? But that's what everybody immediately goes there. Oh, it's Mary appearing. No, it's not. It's four blobs of light. There's no communication, and people are literally worshiping it. That's crazy. That's crazy to me. No one's testing the spirits.
Well, and you're not saying that the Blessed Virgin statue, where people have reportedly seen it cry or shed tears of blood, you're not saying any of that doesn't exist, are you?
That exists, but what's behind it?
What's behind it?
Yeah.
Don in Kent, Ohio, welcome to the program, Donald. Go ahead.
Brother George, another great program.
Well, thank you, Donnie.
Ellie, I spent 30 years in the Catholic Church, was married there, my son was baptized. Do you find it strange that this Mary appears as a young woman between 17 to 20 years old, yet she had to be in her 50s when Jesus was crucified, and in that environment, she was probably missing teeth, had a rough skin, yet Jesus appears in the upper room as a 33-year-old who bears the wounds of the crucifixion, and on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah also appear as old men. And my other comment is Jack Vallee, who's a computer scientist and astronomer, mm-hmm. believes that Mary is tied directly into the UFO deception. What say you?
You said it perfectly. I completely agree. Completely agree with what you just said. 100%. And I'm deeply troubled by it.
Who's behind the deception, L.A.?
Well, I mean...
Who's pulling those strings? Are we talking about the devil?
Yeah, basically the thumbnail sketch is, we are at war. We're told in the end times it's going to be strong delusion, that there'll be lying signs and wonders. I mean, I can't state that enough. And I believe we're told to test the spirits. And this is why I go back of a 2009. George, it's only a few years ago, you know, and these people are in modernity, and they've got cell phones. In fact, you know, most of the stuff on YouTube is cell phone. People are taking the thing with the cell phone. If the cell phones were at Fatima, we would know exactly what we're looking at. Everybody immediately says that it's Mary of the Bible, and they're worshiping it. They're clapping and you watch it and see it for yourself. I mean, it is absolutely mind-boggling. It's not Mary of the Bible. It's four blobs of light. And we have no idea what the source of those lights, whether it's benevolent or malevolent. No one's testing the spirits, for crying out loud.
So you think that the devil, Satan, Lucifer, might be using images that people can construe as Mary for the deception?
I think that the enemy will pull out all the stops and create the coming great deception, which will... you know, turn the world on its head when it happens. And we see this over and over and over again. Anytime people are up, most people have no idea. And I'm not, I mean, okay, some people will call me an expert, but, you know, I've encountered stuff. And one thing I have learned is to test the spirits. One has to test the spirits. And the fact that psychics got together and predicted this thing and signed it Stella Matutina, the bright morning star, which is another name for Lucifer, is just, I mean, that's a flare going off, you know? And that's most people that know about Fatima don't know about the psychics predicting this whole thing. And most people don't realize that the day before, May 13th, an apparition appeared to this guy. We went to that site and... you know, the day before. So this is, Portugal is rife with these type of apparitions. They were steeped in the worship of the goddess, of the feminine goddess. The whole country was before the Roman era. And then when the Romans got in there, they brought the goddess Diana, who appears sometimes in a short skirt as a huntress.
Huh.
So it's very, very complex. It's not so black and white.
I remember years ago I had a guest who... sold the story that he had been with Sister Lucia, who still had a vow of silence, mm-hmm. But he claims that he'd had a chance to talk to her and got secrets from her, and so he pitched himself to come on the show. So we're doing the show, and I asked him the, of course, $64,000 question, what did you ask her? What did she tell you? And he said, well, I can't say. It was a secret. I said, I've got you on the air for 3 hours, and you can't tell me what she talked to you about? Mm-hmm. We're going to go to a break, and then I want you to compose yourself, and then I'll ask you the question again. And if you don't answer it, I'm going to have to move on.
We go
to the break, we come back, and I said, so what did she tell you? And he said, I can't tell you, it's a secret. And so I dumped him, and he's never been back on the show. Ever, ever, ever. Let's go to Howard in Vancouver, Washington. Welcome to the show. Howard, go ahead.
Hello, George in L.A.
Hello there.
How you doing?
Pretty good. 3 years before the incident at Fatima, there was another incident referred to as the Angels of Mons. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
World War I, yes.
World War I. Now, this was September 29th, 1914. The... French and British armies were up in Belgium, and they were being overwhelmed by the German army, and they were retreating back into France. And at the city of Mons, they were about to be overtaken, and they claim that a host of angelic beings appeared between the two lines and stopped the Germans long enough for them to escape back into France. And later, some of the German, or excuse me, some of the French soldiers claimed that they saw St. Michael and Joan of Arc. I wondered if you had ever heard anything about that or if there's any connection. This was only 3 years apart, and it sounds like a very similar type of incident.
I have heard of it, and, you know, again, I'm not there. It's very, and I haven't researched it the way I researched Fatima. Look, the supernatural manifests. We all know that. I mean, stuff happens. Stuff is happening as we speak. That's why I go back to the 2009 one. That's something you can go to YouTube right now, you know, not now, but after the show or tomorrow at your leisure, and Google Mary appears over a Coptic church 2009. Watch what's there. That's 2009. I mean, that's not that long ago. And that you can see it for yourself. It's four blobs of light, and it was not just one apparition. It happened for weeks on end. A couple of weeks this thing went on for. In fact, at one point, we were thinking about flying to Egypt to film it at one point. So, I mean, and the mayor was so incensed and so troubled by it, he ordered all the electricity in the town to be shut off to make sure it wasn't a hoax.
Jeez. L.A., we could go on for about four more hours about this, but we're running out of time, my friend, as the clock is beginning to tick. So, in essence, Fatima, miracle of the sun or harbinger of deception, do you come to a specific conclusion, or do you give people the chance to decide what they think happened?
We always give people a chance to decide. You know, look at the evidence. But I sort of admonish the people. You know, in my opinion, what we're looking at here was very, very troubling, and I believe it was a harbinger of deception. And I think that we're told that when Satan comes with all signs and lying wonders, that's something that just, it's going to be absolutely mind-blowing. People will believe the lie. That's prophetic. People will believe the lie, the strong delusion. So that's why I think it's a harbinger of what is to come.
Now, if Satan has the ability to present the lie, when does God come out to crush it?
Soon. I hope it's real soon.
So you see this battle brewing, don't you?
Oh, I do. I do. Just look at the world and where we are. We're ramping up towards a climax, in my opinion.
And one more time, where can people get Fatima?
Well, you can go to the Watchman singular, thewatchmanchronicles.com, thewatchmanchronicles.com. We also have a special at lamarzulli.net. You can get the Fatima DVD and also our DVD on UFOs in their own words. It's an hour and 37 minutes. We have a special going there. But the Watchmen Chronicles, and I promise you, you know, people have watched the film. It's very fair, but we've touched some of the highlights tonight. You're going to walk away with something that will really make you think and make you want to do more research.
Thank you, L.A. Always great talking to you. Up next, Lon Milo Duquette, as we talk about the paranormal on Coast to Coast AM.